This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of Germany's best-known film directors, Volker Schlondorf, is visiting the States, so we invited him to talk with us about how his life has changed in Germany since the Berlin Wall came down 2 years ago. And, of course, we wanted to hear about his new film. Schlondorf is one of the creators of the new German cinema of the 60s and 70s. He studied in France in the early 60s, where he worked with several of the French New Wave directors, including Louis Malle and Alain René. In America, Schlondorf is best known for The Tin Drum, The Lost Honor of Katharina Blum, The Handmaid's Tale, and the TV production of Death of a Salesman, which starred Dustin Hoffman. Most of his films are adapted from novels or plays. His new movie, Voyager, stars writer and actor Sam Shepard. It's based on the novel Homo Faber by the late German writer Max Frisch. I asked Schlondorf what it was about that novel that led him to make a film based on it.
It was really the remembrance of a novel. I had read it 15 years ago when I decided to do it without rereading it, just on the few elements that I remembered, which is a man around 50, estranged from his wife, who is 50 now, just as he is, falls in love with a 25-year-old who, as they say, could be his daughter. And so it's this reliving your life a second time, using a second chance, that's man's privilege in a way, but it's also going to be his tragedy.
Were you going through anything in your own life that made you particularly relate to this idea of reliving your life or having a second chance or doing the same thing a second time?
Well, yes. It's for me, it's a very personal movie, which doesn't necessarily make it interesting to others, but and makes it very hard for me to talk about, because often I've been treating social and political subjects and the like. And this one was really, I came to New York in 84 to do The Death of a Salesman. It was meant to be like a 3-month stay. And in that short period of work, actually it lasted almost a year, I made so many friends and I got so used to this chaos of New York City, which reflected so well maybe the inner chaos, that I did stay on and stay on. I developed with great voracity lots of projects. And all of a sudden, I turned around, 6 or 7 years had passed by. I didn't really work that lot. And I thought, you know, did I lose my way? Where am I at? And that's when I thought of this Homo Faber, because also he's commuting between Europe and the United States a lot, so he has this transatlantic experience. Hard for me to go more into it.
Because it gets too personal?
It gets very personal. It's a divorce from Margarete von Trotta, the filmmaker I was married to for 20 years, and it's the start of a new life that didn't work out. But it's somehow through all these tragic things in art, you can overcome things in your own life. That's the... the amazing thing that indeed we tragedy, which destroys us in real life, can be enjoyable when we see it on stage or on screen.
Did you end up having a relationship with someone much younger?
All that happened. I'm very embarrassed. I'm glad this is a radio show and not a television, because you'd see me blushing. But I discovered the incredible power. I mean, we know that since Wagner, Tannhäuser, whatnot. It's such a banality, but love can indeed rejuvenate you incredibly and give you almost like a second life. And, well, if it happens 2 or 3 times in a lifetime, that's amazing. I'm not speaking of short-lived relations, but really like an overwhelming passion. And that's of course, always when man is at a loss, like this Homo Faber in Max Frisch's novel, when he doesn't get along with his external, say, with his professional life anymore, he all of a sudden then remembers, oh, wasn't there something else which I dropped when I was 25 and I decided that my work was more important than my feelings and my emotions? And all of a sudden he thinks he can turn back and sort of use this source to become, get a meaning into his life again. But of course, if for 25 years you've privileged your work over your feeling, that doesn't go unpunished.
This will be my last question, but the relationship broke apart?
In my own case, yes, it did, because, as I said, it doesn't go unpunished. You all of a sudden, you feel you're not really ready anymore to handle feelings if you've neglected them for too long a time. But then, of course, you fall into depression, and you come out of that depression somehow a better person. I don't wish it to everybody to happen, but it really opens you up. It teaches you a certain modesty that then can lead to happiness.
The main character in your movie of this story is played by Sam Shepard.
That's right.
who's an American actor and playwright. And I wonder what it was like to work with someone who writes so well himself.
Yeah, well, that's where the story becomes even more personal because, this is not a story of my life, nor is it his story, Sam Shepard's. But the moment he took over the character, his personality took over almost the novel, and it may be as well now a Sam Shepard story than it was a Max Frisch novel. And we had a very well worked out screenplay by Rudy Wurlitzer, who had written it with me. But we checked it, we double-checked it with Sam 2 months before we started shooting. We read the script with him for a whole week, and he gave his input, and he worked with us on the dialogues from day to day. But mostly he put in his own persona. I mean, it happened to him at moments in scenes where it was not even called for. I could see that he was choking, he was starting to cry. At other moments, he'd just turn and walk away. And I'd go over and talk to him and say, Sam, you know, what's happening? Are you all right? And he'd say, well, I just realized that I could not tolerate another loss or another separation in my life. Things like that. So it was an extremely intimate work. And Julie Delpy, the young French actress who is his partner in it, was equally caught up in this. So I think it has a deep lyrical quality because of the sincerity with which we made it. And it also makes it, of course, a very unprotected movie, because when you display with such sincerity your own feelings, you can look quite sentimental.
Do you like it as the director when actors become that emotionally involved with their character, or do you prefer a more distanced professional approach?
No, I really work to get them to that point involved. And I think that's just, I mean, very seldom happens that it works out. This was one of those great moments where, despite all the difficulty of working with Sam Shepard in the sense that he is not an easy or giving person, it always felt right to do it with him, because when, you know, the problems he was struggling with, or the sort of, I mean, he's not a professional actor. He cannot just perform any emotion the way Dustin Hoffman could, say, in The Salesman. He has a hard time to deliver. But when he does, it has an incredible, authentic power about it.
You say you like to work with the actors to get them to that point of emotional involvement with the character they're playing. How do you do that?
Well, you got to be very open yourself. You cannot have a strong ego. You cannot dictate anything to anybody. It takes great humility. And you have to be just as open to your actors as you expect them to become. I mean, you have to, I think, establish a relationship, a friendship with them. It's very risky.
What's the risk?
Well, the risk is that the relationship or the friendship you establish with them may go sour. They may feel that you intrude upon, you know, their intimacy, their innermost secrets they don't want to deal with. And then you'd still have to go on shooting, and that can be very difficult.
Has that happened to you?
I think there were moments in this production where we are on the verge of it. And I know when working with Robert Duvall on Handmaid's Tale, we had a day or two where the whole thing almost blew up because we got so intimate and talking so much about our relationships with women in our lives that all of a sudden Mr. Duvall, you know, sort of blew it. You know, it's very dangerous to, you know, normally you do that with an analyst in a dark room behind closed doors. You do it in front of a camera with the whole crew around. It's dynamite you're handling.
What do you mean he blew it? What did he do?
Oh, you know, he can go into incredible tantrums, but they are like an earthquake when he goes into it. And all you can do is, even if it's 11 in the morning, just send everybody home. You can just not go on working and try to let it cool off and next morning start then on a sort of a neutral, as you say, professional way. Just, you know, do it, perform, and deliver.
He threw a tantrum that was related to the discussions you were having about relationships with women?
Yeah, and about how to deal with it, how to go into it. You know, he was extremely sincere in the way he tried to court this young character, Kate, in the film. And also about, well, the question of betrayal is, I mean, we all have these hidden crimes in our life. And you bring that up to include, a behavior you're ashamed of, but which is actually part of your life. And you want to use that in a performance. Well, it certainly opens up a can of not only worms, but of dragons.
Can you be more specific about what happened?
I'd hate to go more into that, but I know it certainly must have touched about things that happened in his life with his previous wife and whoever he was living with at the time. You know, if actors are really sincere and authentic, very few are, and are willing to deal with that, they ask you almost to dig into that. But then when you touch the point where it is really vulnerable and painful, you know, all of a sudden they get very angry at you. And because they feel like they've given away something they don't want to give away or something they can't handle. I mean, we are very irrational people, but at the moments when we are most sincere, when we try to live a love and we don't manage it, and this is really about love lost and life wasted. Sounds terribly heavy, I'm sorry.
Well, I wonder if this whole process, because it sounds like you're really kind of playing with fire in a way, if you feel that you're becoming a more emotionally involved director, or if you're going to start leaning more toward the distanced professional approach, in the future.
No, it's a come and go. No, I'm very, I mean, it's a little, you know, it's funny. I feel like I'm only starting to make movies, and yet it's 25 years since the first one. But it is just that this, human emotions and what we try to deal with in art, and mainly what is the right way to live? That's really the big question behind this. And not only from a moral point of view, but from, how can you live rightly and still achieve in society? I mean, if you follow your first instincts or whatever your first desires, you end up looking like a shit. If you adapt to society all the time, well, you get totally frustrated and you feel I've never been myself. And between these two extremes, somehow we're all looking for for a way to handle it. And then things happen to us. In this case, it is really the man is caught in a series of coincidences. That's the way he calls it. Other may call it fate or destiny. Say it's emotionally, because he tries to protect himself so much, to build these dams around himself. Well, sometimes those dams break, and then the flood is there, carrying away everything. And I would like to explore more and more into that direction. It is hard to catch an audience with it, but if you do, it's fantastic.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Volker Schlondorf, and his new movie is called Voyager. It stars Sam Shepard. I'd like to take a short break and then come back and talk with you about how life has changed in Germany since...
That'll be not much easier.
Yeah. Well, first we'll take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is film director Volker Schlondorf, and his movies include The Tin Drum, The Lost Honor of Katharina Blum. He did the production of Death of a Salesman that was shown on TV with Dustin Hoffman and John Malkovich. He directed the movie A Handmaid's Tale. His new movie is called Voyager. Volker Schlondorf, you are German. You've lived in West Germany all your life, although you've traveled around a lot and, you know, have worked in Europe and the United States and so on. You've been in Germany for the better part of the past 2 years. Has your day-to-day life changed a lot since the wall came down?
Not at all. That's the most amazing experience for everybody who is not living in Berlin, say in Munich, Frankfurt, Düsseldorf, or elsewhere. Life just seems to go on as before. And that's such a paradox. When I travel then from Munich to Berlin, I find Berlin a totally different city, an exciting city, a city that feels to be in danger. People feel very threatened in a way by the loss of the wall. They had settled into a quiet comfort where they were on the right side, and beyond the wall was, not quite the evil empire, but anyhow, it was clearly the enemy. And now all of a sudden, the wall being gone, this former enemy is now your brother and sister. And you sort of feel, well, but we were the better people. Why did you tolerate for 40 years what was imposed upon you? That kind of thing. So it creates an incredible tension within the city of Berlin you live at most. While the rest of Germany seems to be sleeping by this greatest period in time and that great chance, it makes me sometimes very angry that people are not opening more up to it.
Do you have any friends from East Germany who are going through identity crises now because of the change, and also some of the people who were maybe supported by the state and aren't now have to find a different audience or something?
Yeah, the filmmakers, I'm the ones I know best, of course. Like, names you're not doesn't mean a thing here, yeah. But don't mean a thing. Egon Günther or Konrad Beyer and so on, they just don't get it how the market works. They were used to have one single employee, which was the state-owned studio, and it would pay them whatever, a monthly salary, and they submit a project, and if it finally got a go after a lot of compromises, they would go and do it. Now, they are out there in the jungle, and they don't understand how we do it. How come I have to travel to Paris and find a co-producer, go to London, get a sales to a British television, come to New York and raise some money from an independent distributor? This hustle is something they are just not prepared for. And on the other hand, this hustle is what I think keeps us alive somehow. We cannot get lost entirely from reality and, you know, into pure art of any kind. But most of them feel, when they are past 40 or so, I'm too old to adapt to that. So this is what their real crisis is. And I think for the writers, the problem is similar. that in as much as all their writing was somehow to write in between the lines, to write against the regime, to write for our human truth and emotions, but somehow they couldn't do it overtly. They had to hide it in their writing. Now there is no censorship anymore, and they don't see where the enemy is. Someone told me, you know, I can't do it anymore because I don't have a subject left I want to deal with. I say, what do you mean? He said, well, I don't have an enemy. I say, well, isn't there enough going on in society? And
the demons just, within?
Yes, and the demons within. Well, that's is. I think they will adapt to it. What I sort of regret is that there's so little exchange of the two different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You should expect, if you know, this is like the classical case of, you know, you take two brothers, you separate them at birth, and one you raise in a salon in Paris and the other one in the wilderness. That was sort of Rousseau's example. And then 40 years later, you bring them together, and now you can say, was it in the genes or did society change them and whatnot? I mean, they should have a lot of subjects to talk about. And that exchange between, say, the East and West, at least within Germany, doesn't seem to happen because the experience of the ones in the East is condemned as a total failure from the beginning and all wrong. And the other ones are extremely righteous about their attitude. So instead of being an incredible positive feeling, what it created so far, and the change you feel, especially after the second year, is an immense tension among people.
Well, Volker Schlondorf, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Volker Schlondorf's new film, Voyager, opens in January. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.